League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is First and Ten on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
And good morning, everybody. It is great to be here. I'm sitting next to the inimitable Carla Dawson and Ron Culver behind the glass. Good morning and welcome in, everybody.
And you should consider yourself lucky that the lights are not on because it is early here in Houston.
It is early, but it is.
You do not have to look at your co-host.
I love looking at my co-host. For those of you who can't see her, she's
face
stunning.
For radio.
She is stunning. She is Carla Dawson. I am David Gow, and this is First and Ten, the show that is all things football. And it is fun. We've got a Thursday night football matchup, the Chiefs and the Broncos. You called it a very important game for the Chiefs. After two losses, it does feel like they need to get the ship going in the right direction.
Oh, I think it is a must-win for Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and all those boys. And that defense is going to have to be the difference tonight because we've got to compromise Patrick Mahomes with an ankle injury that he really, you know, injured week one, but he's been kind of dealing with, re-injured badly, you know, against the Texans and then the week before against the Colts, which are two consecutive losses that were handed to the Chiefs in Arrowhead. They've got to feel some urgency going into Mile High Stadium.
Well, there feels like there's a blueprint now to beat the Chiefs, and that blueprint is being very physical, trying to expose the Chiefs as being soft. You run the ball, you control the clock, you keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, and that Chiefs defense has not been effective at stopping the opposition, particularly the last 2 weeks against the Colts and the Texans.
Now, do you know in the last four or five games, they've given up almost 200 yards a game on the ground.
Yeah, can't do that. Can't do that.
So Denver's excited about that because, honestly, if you look at Denver, you know, Vic Fangio, a very, very great defensive coach. Their offense seems pretty much the same as when I saw week one against the Raiders, but their defense is really coming on.
Broncos do have some weapons. I mean, Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders, and they've got the first-round draft pick tight end Noah Fant.
Yet they have Joe Flacco
at quarterback, and that's always been an issue at quarterback. Well, it's been a quarterback for the Broncos for a number of years now.
And lost Bradley Chubb.
When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Carl Mecklenburg. You remember Carl Mecklenburg? He was an anchor.
I do.
And the Orange Crush defense.
That's right.
Longstanding, great, great Bronco linebacker. It'll be Carl Mecklenburg, and we'll ask him, are the Broncos headed in an upward trajectory? Carl Mecklenburg, when we return, First and 10, SB Nation Radio.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio, it's a real treat. We have Carl Mecklenburg, the standout Bronco linebacker, a six-time All-Pro. Carl, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hi, how are you?
Good, welcome on in.
Thank you.
So let's begin. We know that since you've retired, you've been very active in a number of charity events. Tell us what you're up to these days.
Well, I continue to support the community in lots of different ways. I just was out in New Jersey for a golf tournament for supporting the military. I work with kids. I work with hunger issues. And try to be involved wherever I can be.
He's Carl Mecklenburg, six-time Pro Bowler with the Broncos. Would love to ask you about your Broncos team. They face the Chiefs tonight, coming off two straight wins. Do you think they're on the right track now?
I do, and truthfully, they have been from the start. It's just it's part of the nature when you're bringing in a new coaching staff. Got a head coach that hasn't really ever been on the sidelines before. He's always been up in the box. Hasn't ever been a head coach before, and the job description is very different than being a defensive coordinator. I got an offensive coordinator who hasn't done that before. I got a lot of guys who hadn't played together before. So it was a real reshuffling of the mix of Denver Broncos, and I have seen improvement each week. You know, even though, you know, they lost some games, every week they're getting a little bit better and a little bit better. The last 2 weeks they haven't given up a touchdown on defense, and that is reminiscent of some other defenses that have played in the blue and orange.
Yes, we recall the days of the Orange Crush. But let me come back to, I think coming into the season there was a lot of confidence about the Broncos defense. Oh, and obviously the loss of Bradley Chubb was significant, but still the team's playing very well defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, more questions about Joe Flacco. What do you think his ceiling is as a quarterback now?
You know, I love Joe. Joe is a guy that they brought in to handle the offense and make the adjustments, and he's not somebody who's going to win a game by himself. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but they didn't bring him in to be Patrick Mahomes. You don't want a gunslinger when you've got the defense that this team has, when you have that personnel, when you have that ability to shut other people down. So I think he's the perfect guy for the job. I don't know that you could find anybody better at this point.
So, Carl, so we've talked about the Denver Broncos' much-improved defense, which in the last three games they've 12 sacks, 6 takeaways, which is just a remarkable turnaround from the beginning of the season. And as you said, getting used to Vic Fangio and his coaching staff. How do you, as the Denver Broncos defense, game plan for Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he is seemingly somewhat compromised with an ankle injury, but ankle injury or not, how do you game plan for him tonight?
Well, you got to pressure him up the middle, force him to be uncomfortable, and rally and tackle well. Because when he starts scrambling around and moving around and you know, throws the ball left-handed or underhand, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff that he does, those turn into big plays when you miss tackles, when you're not in position. So, you know, maintain position, realize that he's gonna lengthen the play. And then rally and make tackles.
What's your prediction on tonight?
You know,
she goes right to the jugular.
I'm just not even waiting until the end.
Does.
I want it now.
I had little more foreplay. I wanted that more.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are going to win the game. I think they've continued to improve. I think it's a really difficult thing to go into a short week, having lost two games in a row, and questioning yourself, and then coming to the environment that it's going to be on Thursday night in Denver. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. And the Broncos are feeling their oats. They're getting better and better. Like I said, so I think it's going to be a tough job for Kansas City. Very, very large hill to climb to come in here and win.
Well, great news for Broncos fans, because no one wins a championship in October. So this is not when you want to peak. So this is great.
Well, and when you go back to the Broncos team, or the blueprint the last couple of weeks to defeating the Chiefs has been with the Texans, obviously ran the ball very well. The Colts ran the ball well, kept the ball out of Mahomes' hands. Where do you see the Broncos run game, and how effective can they be tonight?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they'll be able to run the ball and will. That's, to me, that's how, once again, how you play complementary offense. Help your defense, keep them off the field, especially when you've got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, or when I was playing a guy like Joe Montana, or a guy like Elway, truthfully. I mean, that's what teams try to do to us, is keep John off the field. So it's not a new thing, but it's a smart thing. If somebody's out there, the less plays he has, if he's a guy who makes magic, the less opportunities he has to do that, the less chances are it'll happen to you.
We're talking to Carl Mecklenburg. He's in the Broncos Ring of Fame. Well, let's ask you about John Elway, general manager. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He noted recently he feels the pressure to perform again. How do you evaluate John Elway, general manager?
You know, I think he's been general manager for 9 years, and the Broncos have been into 2 Super Bowls, won one of them. I think if anybody had said, we've got a general manager out here, doesn't have to be named John Elway, but anybody, and in one decade he's going to get you to 2 Super Bowls and win one, I think anybody would take that. And the great thing about John is he learns from mistakes. They had a couple bad drafts, and he was bringing in guys based solely on their athletic ability. In the last couple of drafts, you'll notice the guys he's bringing in are guys who were captains on their team, who are character people, who are football players, not necessarily athletes, and it's made a big difference. The young core, the guys from the last couple of years are really helping this team win and this team improve, and they can. So many teams, when you're 0-4, are just falling apart. This team continued to get better every week, and that's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of leadership from within the team, and John had brought those people in.
Carl, I'm going to ask just probably the most important question of the interview. Give us the story behind your nickname, the Snow Goose.
The Snow Goose. Love the Snow Goose.
You don't want to hear that. It had to do with too much to drink, and I was in a snowdrift in college and was throwing up, and it sounded like a goose. So that's how I got Snow Goose.
He's been outed here.
So, you didn't want to know that. You didn't want to know that.
I won't tell. It's between you and me, I promise. Mom's right. The word over here.
All right.
Well, awesome stuff. Carl Mecklenburg, you are a four-time first-team All-Pro. Congratulations on a great career, and really, for all you're doing for a number of great causes, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us here on SBNation Radio.
My pleasure. What I'm doing now is I'm a professional speaker. I've been a certified speaking professional through the National Speakers Association and a keynote speaker. I do about 40 keynotes a year all around the country. I was found another job I love, and what an opportunity for me to go out and influence companies, influence associations, and make a difference in their lives. So that's another angle to what I'm doing now, and I love it. So I appreciate the time, and have a great day.
Thank you, Carl, and good luck to you. Success on the field, success off the field. I love to hear it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So, 1 out of 4 batteries are going to fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, one of the fun headlines of this morning is the big trade.
That we have a dancing producer?
Well, he's a dancing bear in there. The guy can
Don't
move.
Don't think that went unnoticed, Ron Culver.
Well, if
that
only
was some
people,
good moves.
This should go on TV. Between your face and his dancing, it should
Telling
be.
You what, we are made for TV, right?
A show for television. But look, let's talk Jalen Ramsey. Big trade. He was obviously not happy in Jacksonville. Felt disrespected. That's probably a financial question. Finally, Jaguars relented, traded him. He's now with the Rams. Who do you see winning that trade?
Oh, there is one person that won that trade, and his name is Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey. He worked his way out of Jacksonville.
He did. You know what? I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Were you surprised by A, the trade, and B, where he's going?
I would not surprised. it just looked like there were going to be irreconcilable differences. I didn't see a guy who's holding out with a, quote, back injury, end quote, doesn't fit there. And Tom Coughlin doesn't suffer fools very much. I know the owner said he'd had that heart-to-heart and they'd worked it all out.
Right.
But there was something broken there. Ramsey clearly wanted out. So I wasn't surprised that he got traded. I didn't see the Rams as the likely destination. In fact, when I look at this trade and I think about who are the winners and losers, I think, well, who won between Jacksonville and the Rams, I would say that they both lost. Jacksonville lost a standout, perhaps best in the league cornerback.
Best player on their team.
And they didn't want to do this trade. They loved having him paired with A.J. Bouye. It was a good setup. They're a team that is contending this year in their division. They didn't want to get rid of Jalen Ramsey. He's a guy they took in 2016 draft, a very good player to have. This is not the way you orchestrate outcomes. The way you orchestrate is you draft well, you get a great elite player, and you keep him. So they're losing this battle. The Rams, I think they really are trading almost out of a weakness and desperation. I mean, they aren't a window
it's
where...
It's a knee-jerk reaction.
It is not a good day for the Rams. Look at the Rams right now. Obviously, they gave up... Well, they gave up on Marcus Peters. They did not believe in him, and so they've cast him out. They've traded him away. Aqib Talib is injured, so they are very vulnerable at the cornerback position.
Yes.
They traded really, I think, somewhat out of desperation. And that is a team that you can't say, well, once we bring in a cornerback, then we'll be over the top. There are holes all over that Ram team, certainly on the offensive line. And the running back position is a question mark. We'll see, but I just don't think getting Jalen Ramsey is the missing link to the success.
And look what they gave up for him. Two first rounds, 2020 and 2021, and a fourth rounder. So, I mean,
a lot of draft capital, and imminently it's going to be a lot of financial capital. A huge contract must be had here, or this didn't work out. Ramsey, of course, under team rights, through this season, they can exercise the rookie option. He would be under team rights next year. So they have him under contract through the end of 2020. But what we've just seen in Jacksonville is he's not satisfied with his current contract. So the Rams have to, yes, give up all the draft capital, and they've got to work out a long-term agreement with him, or this will not be a good ending.
Okay, I don't know that you're going to love this, but I am in the Ramsey camp. I would almost do what Jalen Ramsey did. Because, number one, he's arguably the best cornerback in the league, if not the best, one of the top three for sure. He's Jacksonville's best player on that roster. Top to bottom, he is it. And all he wanted, and he made it pretty darn clear when he drove the Brinks truck up to the first
It wasn't very subtle, was it?
It wasn't subtle.
Right.
To Jalen Ramsey, respect equals the almighty dollar.
Yep.
And he said, I just want respect. And to him, it's, you're not paying me. And he went number five in that draft. And let me tell you who he went behind. Number one, Jared Goff, who just signed a $134 million contract with 110 guaranteed. And he is stinking it up right now. He is average at best. Number two, Carson Wentz. Don't even get me started there. He signed a big, fat contract. He wasn't there to take the Eagles to the Super Bowl. To me, Carson Wentz is... contract is riding on the coattails of the success of the Philadelphia Eagles and what Doug Peterson has been able to do. Then you've got Joey Bosa, who, you know, he's had some injury issues, but he's just got his head down playing for right now what is a moribund franchise in the LA Chargers, but he's going to get his payday. And then you've got Ezekiel Elliott, who not only did not back up a Brinks truck to training camp, he didn't back up anything to training camp.
Yep.
Because he was in Cabo, quote, working out on the beach. And guess what? Jalen Ramsey is looking at those four and saying, what? Where's my money? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a top five. I'm not number 25. I'm a top five. I'm the best player on my Jaguars team. And Tom Coughlin, he is stubborn to a fault. And I think all he had to do was pay Jalen Ramsey. Because people will say, well, his off-field is just being brutally honest and perhaps poking a bear like Josh Norman in Washington and whatever he does. But he's not Ezekiel Elliott, who was taken before him and paid the biggest contract for a running back. So for Jalen Ramsey, I would want out too. And then I look at the Rams. Do I want to go to the Rams? Yeah, I want to go to the Rams. You know why? because they paid Jared Goff a big fat contract. They made Aaron Donald the most, you know, expensive player, a defensive player in the league. Now, is Aaron Donald worth it? Yes, he is. But the Rams are going to pay. So I think it was a brilliant move on Ramsey's part. And I fault it. In Jacksonville, conversely, he looks and goes, they freaking paid Blake Bortles. They extended him 3 years, $54 million. And what did he do? Nothing. He had a less than Blake Bortles year, but it didn't pan out to anything for the Jaguars. So I think I credit Jalen Ramsey to see a situation that was going nowhere and to go somewhere where he's going to get paid. So he's the winner, because I think you're right. The Rams, this is a knee-jerk reaction. They're just not knowing what to do to, you know, fix this three-game skid that they have. And Jacksonville, you know, Doug Marrone, I feel bad for the guy. He doesn't make the trades. It's really on Tom Coughlin. Shad Khan tried. So, I don't know. Coughlin's the one who extended Bortles as well.
Well, and what's interesting is you don't hear much from Coughlin on this.
No,
I mean, you hear it from the owner and you heard it from the coach and obviously from the player and some of the other players. But Tom Coughlin has been stone silent on all this.
Amazing.
Yeah. He's that old school guy, doesn't really want to deal with the press and be peppered with question after question after question. So, yes, to your point, I mean, I think the Jaguars are losers in this. I think this is not the way they would have scripted it. We don't really know what the contract dialogue was like. There were whispers that he was asking not to be paid just as the top corner, but perhaps to be paid as the top defender, to have a contract equivalent to, say, what Khalil Mack is making with Chicago. That's a hefty price, and maybe that was beyond what Coughlin would do. But the Rams then are stuck with that, and they've got a player who, if he doesn't get paid, is going to have an injured back. So I think that it's a tough day for both the Rams and the Jaguars. I guess when I come back to the Rams, they have needs across the board now. That offensive line is weak. They don't have a left tackle of the future, and now they've given up their first-round picks the next couple of years. Where are they going to go get the talent they need to round out the team? When you think about team building, this is not the way you'd like to do it, to have to give up two number ones and go get an elite player. Even going back to...
Well, an elite player that's going to make an immediate difference.
Well, he will.
The Rams' defense isn't really the problem, if you want, in my book.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. You know what? When you go back to the Cowboys, I mean, the Rams' offense has struggled mightily, surprisingly. But I think the philosophy is, let's shore up the defense and Sean McVay will figure out the offense. But I think that's a big leap of faith. I think the league's figured out Sean McVay just a little bit.
Oh, and also, I forgot to mention when I was saying that the Rams will pay their people. You know, they paid Goff big time, paid Aaron Donald. They made Todd Gurley the highest paid running back in the league. And at the time, that did not look like a crazy decision.
Yeah.
So let me be clear about that. But Gurley, you know, he's not even on the field. He's we don't really know what they're dealing with, what he's dealing with, because the Rams are not forthcoming. But it's very interesting. The Rams are very willing to pay, and they seem to have very deep pockets. So Jalen Ramsey,
but they're all operating under the same salary cap constraints.
Well, I know, but somehow they're paying these guys big time, big contracts.
Well, you can borrow from your future and pay in the present.
That's right.
You can spread the salary cap signing bonuses out, but that always comes home to roost at some point. And how devastating it will be if Gurley is never Gurley again.
Well, I know.
If Jared Goff doesn't play up to the potential at which he's being paid, then that franchise is set back for years.
Yeah, they are. Because you see, as Gurley goes, the Rams go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was basically a no-show in the Super Bowl. And there was a stat that when Gurley has 20 or more carries, they win. And he's been not even close to that. And I think in the Super Bowl, it was less than 15. So there is something to that. And Jalen Ramsey, while he is probably shouldn't be as honest as he is, he's a really smart guy. You remember that GQ article a year ago when he kind of went through the quarterbacks in the league and
he
gave
was pretty
his very
rough on
honest
him.
Assessment. But he was right. I mean, Jared Goff, you know, kind of joked about, yeah, he pegged me as average and above average. And I think it's just kind of funny, and I'm thinking to myself, I think it's just kind of honest. I thought it was pretty good.
Right.
So.
Well, it is one other note that's sort of interesting to think about is that we had two similar trades for great players at key positions. The Texans just giving up a lot of draft capital to get Laremy Tunsil.
Two first rounders there
for left tackle. And then, of course, this deal with Ramsey. They're both from the same draft. It's sort of funny to look at back at that draft.
Tunsil went 13.
Ramsey number five.
Because of
the bong issue. And that's right. Tunsil would have probably gone top six or seven.
Right.
He did have the bong issue. It was not the best portrait.
The bong portrait was not.
The night before the draft. Right. Just unbelievable. Somebody clearly had it out for him.
Oh, yeah. Not looking good. But, I credit the Texans. That was a bold move, and that has been a difference maker. It has turned their season around. Deshaun is upright. Zero sacks, one quarterback hit in the last two games.
All right, we'll look at the Texans-Colts matchup when we return. We'll look at what it means for that division up next on First and 10.
This is First and 10 on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to First and 10, the show that's all things football. And we've got some good matchups in the NFL this weekend. I'm really looking forward to that Texans-Colts matchup. A big, intense rivalry now in the AFC South. Texans, of course, 4-2 on top of the division. Colts stand 3-2 because they've had their bye. But I think this is showtime for the Texans. I mean, they've been great the last couple of weeks. Deshaun Watson was outstanding against the Chiefs. Both teams have beaten the Chiefs in the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's what's kind of crazy. In Arrowhead, both of them were consecutive losses. First, the Colts handed it to the Chiefs, and then the Texans.
Oh, they show they can play with anybody. Wow. Both those teams can. Clearly, the Chiefs, the Patriots, class of the AFC coming in. Now, maybe you have to include either the Texans or the Colts in that conversation with the big wins they've had, and we'll learn a lot more this weekend.
I think the Texans have an axe to grind. The last time they saw the Colts, it was a 21-7 beatdown in the wild card game. At NRG, it was ugly. It was the Andrew Luck Colts. But let's be clear, Jacoby Brissett is stepping in nicely for Andrew Luck, and he is 3-0 versus Houston. He beat them once when he was in New England and twice with the Colts. So the Texans, I'm sure they're pretty up for this game, and they've got some revenge on their hands.
Well, of course, the Colts would love to run the ball with Mac. Do you think the Texans' run defense will be able to slow Mac down?
Yes.
I mean, that's a key factor to me because you can't count. The Colts can't count on Brissett to take over the game the way an Andrew Luck could. They're going to need to run the ball and build off the play action.
No, they will. And the Texans' run defense has been outstanding, and it's getting better every week. It has to be at the tip top because if you look in that game, where the Texans last saw the Colts, Marlon Mack had 148 yards on 24 carries and a touchdown. He averaged 6.2 yards a carry. That cannot happen. This season, Mack already has 470 yards. Can you imagine this? Averaging almost 5 yards a carry with two touchdowns. So that's going to be the key to the game, honestly. They have the Texans' run defense really has to just continue to be who they are. They've been outstanding against the run. And they're going to be playing this weekend without first-rounder left guard Titus Howard, who tore his MCL, should be back in a month. But Roderick Johnson's going to step in with him at that left guard position. So let's hope.
Right tackle, yeah.
Yeah.
Roderick Johnson played well in that spot, but that's a loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, the O-line, they've done so much work to get the O-line to protect Deshaun Watson.
But he was out for most of the Chiefs game as well. Titus Howard went out early. And they looked good. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a great matchup, though.
All right. Another big matchup, an important matchup, although two teams who are struggling of late. Cowboys, Eagles, 3-3, NFC East. Suddenly the NFC East looks like the NFC least. It is in the NFC, the important thing here is doesn't look like there's going to come a wild card out of the NFC East. It's going to require winning the division to make the playoffs, which means this game, the head-to-head matchups between the Cowboys and the Eagles are pivotal.
And I think the key to this game, the key to look for is turnovers. Because honestly, if you look at Dak's numbers from last week's loss, he had great numbers, except three interceptions or whatever he had, several turnovers. In Philadelphia, when they turn over the ball more than two times a game, they lose. One time or less, they win. Turnovers is going to be the key. Do you see the Cowboys getting on track with the Eagles?
On track is a tough statement, but I do think the Cowboys at home will pull this one out. I think these are two evenly matched teams. I think Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz are similar quarterbacks right now. I guess I give the nod to the Cowboys a bit with their run game. If they get their offensive linemen back, both those tackles who are out.
What's the status there?
Well, they're not practicing. They're going to be sort of game time decision. Lionel Collins on the right tackle side, Tyrone Smith on the left tackle. Those are key returnees. And then, of course, Amari Cooper did not play. He's got a quad injury.
Right.
But there are whispers that he's going to get back if they can get their full arsenal back. I mean, Randall Cobb's the other one. But if they can get the team back, I think they can get some kind of rhythm on offense. I guess I have to give the nod to the Cowboys at home.
And I would love for this to be a great game for Dak, because I think he has handled his contract situation and all the noise around that with pure class. He has just continued to lead this locker room, lead this team, and to me, he is their franchise quarterback. He's going to be going up against a guy who has been on the injured list almost as much as he's been on the field. He's got his locker room, doesn't always respond to him. He's got a little bit of a polarizing personality, and he just got a big, fat payday. So I think Dak could really make a statement. I will look for that this weekend.
Well, with this Jalen Ramsey trade, we've been looking at the 2016 draft. Ramsey, of course, went number 5 overall, Elliott number 4, and then, well, Wentz number 2 in that draft to the Eagles. But way, way back in the 4th round was Dak Prescott in that very same draft. So, yeah, Cowboys were very efficient in the allocation of draft capital and getting their quarterback. But I don't know that you can say at this point that either one of them is a Super Bowl quarterback. They both have something to prove, and it starts this Sunday in a big matchup. So another matchup that I find intriguing is the Rams-Atlanta matchup. If for no other reason, then we're going to see Jalen Ramsey play. Suddenly his back is healed. It's a miracle. He's fine. He's going to be all right. Apparently his back feels much better having come to Los Angeles. And he will suit up on Sunday. Gurley will be in the mix, perhaps. I mean, it's not clear what they're going to get out of him.
Yeah, we won't know. They don't talk.
They don't tell. But Atlanta's been a puzzling team. I think they're better than their record. I think they have the potential to beat the Rams, though the Rams seemingly are the better team.
Well, they're both on losing skids. I mean, the Rams on a 3-game losing skid. And against San Francisco, listen to this scary stat. The Rams were 0-13 on 3rd and 4th downs. 0-13.
Ouch.
13 is an unlucky number.
Yeah.
That's really unlucky.
Yep.
You know, but here on the other side of the ball is something that I found. This might just freak you out here. Matty Ice is leading the NFL with 15 touchdowns. He's NFL best.
See, that's the quietest 15 touchdowns, the quietest NFL stat lead that I can think of at this point in the season.
And this week, he can become the first player to start the season with 7 straight 300-yard passing games. Can you explain to me, if that's what's happening with your quarterback, why are they so awful?
Well, part of the reason why I feel like they should be better than their record is they've got a lot of the same roster that they had when they were in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, this is a team that arguably was on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl.
Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu.
Vic Beasley still there on the defensive side. I mean, this is a team that was built well, played well, obviously failed. I granted the season after is just a Super Bowl hangover that they were going to have to recover for a whole year. It was such a devastating loss.
It's been a couple years.
But when do we see the Falcons team step up?
I think, to me, this has got to be a coaching issue, because you bring up the great point about really the exact same personnel. And I respect Dan Quinn. I like him very much. I love what he did in Seattle. I don't know that he's the right guy for the job. When you've got a quarterback putting up numbers like that and you cannot perform, and you look at when they were in the Super Bowl leading the Patriots at halftime 28-3, their OC was Kyle Shanahan, who is now sitting at 5-0 as the head coach in San Francisco. Then they went on some crazy, woke up on the wrong side of the bed and hired Steve Sarkisian. That didn't go well.
Right.
And now they've got Dirk Cotter, who was, you know, the coach in Tampa Bay. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about the coaching staff in Atlanta. What do you think? If Atlanta puts another L in the column this weekend, does Dan Quinn keep his job?
I don't like firing head coaches in the season for two or three reasons. I guess one of the biggest is that there isn't usually anybody good to step in and replace them right away. And often you come up with an interim coach, and maybe there's a short-term pickup and play for that interim coach.
Well, Bill Callahan won in Washington.
I know. But so then sometimes that gives you a false sense that guy is the guy, right? I'd much rather do it in the offseason when there's a full bevy of head coaches, candidates available. If a Lincoln Riley's going to be available, he's not going to be available until after the season. Anyway, I really hate to do it.
Jerry's got the market on Lincoln
Riley. Yeah, Jerry's locked him up. that is the perception out there that there's some fast track from Oklahoma to Dallas, maybe because Barry Switzer did it a decade or two ago. But no, I would really hate to see them have to do that. But there is a point at which you maybe give the team a fresh start and a chance to look at it in a different way. I don't know, but the Falcons are just so disappointing. And no, if you were asking me, will Dan Quinn be the head coach of the Falcons starting next season? No, he will not.
Fair enough.
Let me ask you about a team near and dear to your heart.
Oh, I know who's coming.
Your Raiders, coming off a bye week, now face Green Bay, who are coming off a big Monday night win.
Yeah, Monday night win was interesting. Did you see it?
Yes, it was crazy. The calls at the end, I think the Packers had like 9 lives. I thought they were done, and then they came back. Exciting
Poor Trey
finish.
Poor
Trey Flowers.
I mean, I watched that film over and over, and it was, you know, consecutive calls on him for illegal hands to the face.
Yep.
Neither were hands to the face. Mm. He grabbed him at the shoulder at the collar. It was actually a great tackle, and both were third downs, and it was going to be punting for Green Bay. I know the refs are human. We have the ability, you know, to watch from home at every angle. They've got such good cameras now and all of this and replays. But that's why there's a replay booth in New York, because they're seeing what we're seeing. And that literally changed a game. It changed a game.
Sure.
Because if just one of those calls isn't made on Trey Flowers, Green Bay's not going to win that game, most likely. Both of them shouldn't have been made. And, you know, at one point it was also pointed out that late in the game, Green Bay had 13 men on the field. That was never called.
Amazing.
So I don't know. I have a real problem with how that went down. I feel really badly for Detroit. And you can say, hey, you should have played better so that it didn't come down to that. But that's three egregious missed calls.
Well, what I do love is Trey Flowers has come out and said to all of his teammates, we need to look ahead. We're not going to look back. Let's regroup. Let's focus on the next game.
And that's right.
The only tack to take. He's showing a little more maturity than sometimes the New Orleans Saints have, where they're always looking back at the bad call that happened. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
So, no, the Lions got to look ahead. Green Bay, though, coming off that win, sort of an uplifting win, they will face the Raiders. Raiders after the bye week. No, look, they had two great wins, the Raiders did.
Oh, my goodness.
And they suddenly are in position. Look at their record. They're 3-2 in a division where the Chiefs have stumbled a bit.
You know, being a lifelong Raiders fan, it's very rare that you see the bigger number in front of the win-loss
column. It's been a little while.
It's pretty exciting. Sure. It's pretty exciting. And I am so excited about this. Raiders just signed tight end Darren Waller through 2023 for $9 million. He leads the team in receptions. He's the great story that, you know, had substance abuse problems, and he goes to AA, and it does not matter what city they're in. He finds it. He goes. He has found his home with Oakland. Mm. They love him. He is outstanding. He's their number one option, and I couldn't be happier for them. Good for them paying him up early.
One thing, of course, the new revelation about the Raiders left tackle. Trent Brown, he's facing domestic violence allegations.
Yes.
A woman has claimed that, right? And the process will begin. And my reaction when I saw that is, well, for the immediate term, of course, still have to be a process. There's no suspension immediate, if there will be one at all. And I thought, but there could be a distraction in the short term. How will the team handle this distraction? And then I thought, wait a minute, no.
They've got distraction down.
This team can handle anything.
Yes.
After Antonio Brown.
Vontaze Burfict.
Trent Brown is nothing.
No.
I mean, goodness.
I mean, if you're looking at Browns, they got the easy one here with Trent Brown. I mean, this is a very serious allegation. I am not making light of it at all, and I'm going to count on the NFL doing its job and due diligence because it is a lawsuit against him. I hope it's not true, but it needs to be vetted out. And you're right. I mean, the Raiders have, from the start of training camp, when the other Brown showed up in a hot air balloon, I mean, it's been a circus. So credit John Gruden. He manages his team well through that. And he's very vocal about Vontaze Burfict that he still doesn't agree with the harsh suspension, but they got to move on without him.
All right. Earlier, we got a chance to speak to Carl Mecklenburg, former standout of the Broncos.
Wow, he
and he gave his prediction for tonight's game. When we come back, we'll make our predictions. It will be the Broncos and the Chiefs tonight on Thursday Night Football. We'll be right back here on First and Ten.
Listening to First and Ten on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Bob Evans and Blue Emu. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this hour really goes fast. First and Ten does. And we've covered a lot of the landscape. Let's go back to Thursday Night Football. It was so fun to have Carl Mecklenburg, the standout. He was from that Orange Crush defense. Remember, they were so good in the 80s.
Six-time Pro Bowler. This guy's the real deal.
He was the real deal. And he feels like the Broncos are on track and that the Broncos are going to get a win tonight.
He likes the trajectory. And they have improved immensely. I mean, after an 0-4 start in the last three games, the defense has improved with 12 sacks and six takeaways. I mean, there were no sacks in those first several games. So, is that who you're taking? You're taking the Broncos?
Well, Broncos at home are tempting. But no, I think the Chiefs coming off of two losses will have a real sense of urgency. This is a game I think they feel they really need to win to keep up with the elite of the AFC. I mean, I'm not worried about the Chiefs failing to win their division. Even if they lose tonight, I think they're going to get it all together. They're going to be the division winners in the AFC West. No disrespect to your Raiders.
I was going to say.
I understand. But no, I think the Chiefs
at
this point.
They have the same record
at this point. That's fair. But I just think if they want to be elite and have a great record deep into the playoffs, that they've got to win tonight and they're going to come with a lot of urgency. They do have some tough injuries. I mean, Eric Fisher, Andrew Wiley, Sammy Watkins is likely out. So it's a.
But Tyreek is back.
Tyreek is back. All right. It has been great to be with you. First and 10, all things football.
I'll see you Monday night.
I will see you Monday night on the Boss and the Gloss.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.